Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Feel the heat. What'd you say about Clay Ferreiro yesterday?
What's that?
He's on that ass?
Oh, he knows. He's right on that ass.
We're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Will Manso is the sports director at Local 10. He is sweating the meteoric rise of Clay Ferreiro.
Award-winning
Clay Ferreiro.
You watch it grow. I watched it grow, and now he surpassed me.
Can't help the rookie too much.
It's like when they trade Joe Montana to move on to when they get rid of Peyton Manning for Andrew Luck. Sometimes the inevitable is right in front of you,
and you just get forgotten, and you get thrown off to the side, and you end up a second fiddle on the Hawk Crowder show. It's great.
You must be very proud of your co-worker Clay Ferreiro.
I am actually, because you know we have a two-man department essentially, and then Dookie Lang obviously overseeing things as a producer. And it's tough to cover a sports town with two guys. So the fact he gets that recognition, because he does work hard. You know Clay well. You guys have him on the show. He's a hard working, really talented guy. So I'm happy for him, but I'm coming for him next year. That thing's mine next year. I want it back.
I think that you two guys, not to blow smoke, but I think you two guys happen to have very good rapport together, you and Clay.
Well, I think we do too. I think he's just a fun guy because we're just two guys that like to talk sports. I mean, we are always talking sports in our text messages. Like Clay is the guy that at 9 a.m. you check your phone after dropping your kids off at school, and he's got like a link to the story of the day, his take on it, the comment section on it from people, and he's breaking it down and he starts the conversation at 9 a.m. So he's really passionate about it.
One of the things that we were just talking about, so on the betting site that I use, the only thing you can bet now on LeBron futures is LeBron plays in L.A. or LeBron doesn't play in L.A. There are no more odds. On my site, there are no more odds on specific teams, Miami, New York, Houston. It is either L.A. or not L.A. Do you have a gut instinct as to where LeBron ends up next season?
I don't, guys. I mean, honestly, I see why L.A. would be desirable, you know, because obviously as a home there, he's got the whole L.A., you know, thought of Hollywood afterwards. His kids can fit well in school there, especially his oldest who's playing ball and a very good player. His wife apparently likes it. Again, they have a home there. And the Lakers could probably build something. But to me, isn't that the same? Anywhere LeBron goes is immediately a contender. I just think wherever he wants to go, it's he can just make it happen and bring a star along, and that team is automatically a contender. The flip side, though, guys, is, man, if he goes to L.A., and whoever he takes with him, because he obviously would have to be paired with another star, whether it's Paul George or somebody else or a combo, I mean, you still got to get to the Warriors and the Rockets in your conference alone. So I don't, from the basketball perspective, I'm not sure how desirable that is. And also what happens with Lonzo Ball, I mean, is that he's got to get traded, right? I can't imagine LeBron wanting that circus with LeVar Ball and all that stuff. So I'm sure they're the favorites, but to me, where LeBron, if LeBron says he wants to play in San Antonio or in Houston or in Miami or wherever, he's going to find a way to play there.
And, well, me and Hawk, we've been arguing about this for a couple of days, but Hawk seems to believe, and I totally disagree, that it's not just about winning. It's about his wife, his kids, the comfort level. I can't understand that, Will. I can't fathom that, because he's potentially the best basketball player of all time if he wins a couple more rings right there with Jordan. Why wouldn't he put that as the number one priority, going to the best team to compete with, like you just said, compete with the dynasty of Golden State?
See, that's the thing. I think you're both right in a way where I don't buy, and Dwayne kind of went back a little bit on what he said because he didn't want to make it sound like he had some sort of inside info. Yes, I think family is important, just like anything, guys. I mean, you guys do radio shows, and if you got an offer somewhere to go to a radio show, it has to fit your family well, you know, weigh it out with Miami and where you're at. I mean, it's the same thing with LeBron. I mean, yeah, fit and family is important, of course, because that knocks out about 27 teams in the NBA. As far as fit and family, LeBron and his family can fit just about anywhere, especially in the bigger markets. So I think basketball is as much. I agree with you on that side. I mean, LeBron is not going to go somewhere where just to, you know, hey, I could go to L.A. and it's great and it's Hollywood and Tinseltown. Oh, yeah, this is awesome. But get knocked out in the second round by the Warriors or, you know, in the conference finals. It's just not the way I see him thinking. So I think basketball weighs as much as family. I just think the amount of places where family would be happy is probably, you can count it on one hand, three or four places maybe.
Will Manso is with us from Local 10. Yeah, I don't think he's ring counting anymore. I think the only reason you would go to a Houston is if you were ring counting. And my contention was he's not the only guy that I think he needs to worry about is Michael Jordan. If he's interested in the MJ or LBJ debate, like he needs seven rings then to make it definitively him. He ain't getting seven rings. I don't care if he goes to Houston or not. He's not going to get seven rings. So I think he's done ring counting. I don't think it matters. So I think he does want to play in the iconic uniform of Los Angeles for Magic Johnson. You could see the introductory press conference, you know, and he loves the history of basketball where Magic is there and Kareem is there and Kobe is there. And I just think that's the appeal to him at this point. And I don't even think, I mean, just based on what I watched in game four of that Golden State series, I don't think he cares if he has a second round exit.
I think the competitor in him does. I don't think he wants to go out that way. I don't know how much LeBron has left, but he sure looks like he's got a lot left. I mean, I know you can fall off the cliff quickly, as good as he is even in a couple of years, but I would assume he's got a few good years left. Guys, if I had to handicap it, and I'm in no way an expert or know this 100% or have any inside info, you just have to look at what we just talked about, the fit, the feel, the winning, the availability to win. To me, L.A. makes the most sense. Yeah, I think that's obvious, but I also think Philly makes sense. I also think a comeback to Miami makes sense. I think those three situations to me are the only three I look at and say, here's why I think it would make sense for family. Here's, I think, why it would make sense for winning. Obviously, Philly and Miami. Philly, because they're already talented and in the East. Miami, he's won here before. He's comfortable here. You got Pat Riley who can make a million things work. And L.A. for the reasons we mentioned. I would think L.A. seems to be the favorite, but again, if LeBron sits down with his family in the next couple of weeks and says, hey, I want to play here, this is where I want to be, and this is where I feel we can win and be happy, he's going to pull the strings and make it happen with whatever team that is.
Well, I agree with that. Wherever he decides he wants to go, he will end up there. No one's going to tell him that we can't make it work or we can't help. Exactly. We can't figure out how to get you to fit. Like, it will be done. It will
be. Yeah, get players along.
Yeah, like, it just will be done. But you think Miami is still a legitimate landing spot for him?
I get asked that all the time, and I don't know the answer, but I if it could happen. But again, if LeBron sat down, right, and said, hey, I want to go back to Miami. If his wife, Savannah, said, look, I really want to go with the kids. We were happy there. We liked there. And this is all hypothetical. But if they really wanted to, it would happen. I mean, LeBron would find a way with Pat Riley and Andy, and they'd figure out a way. Is that realistic? Is that really in his heart? Who knows? But we know it could happen. We know the situation would be good. There are other situations, though, that are more, you know, I guess you could say they're easier. Like a Philly's a spot where you could figure out a way. With the youth they have and the leadership of LeBron and his ability, they could find a way easily financially, move guys around without much trouble, have a lot of money coming, and make it work. But does LeBron want to be in Philly? Philly kind of falls into the Lakers realm. They don't have the history, you know, as far as the championships as many, but Philly is a pretty desirable place. And given their youth and the craziness of that town and being in the Eastern Conference, that wouldn't be a bad spot for him either. I mean, L.A. is not the only spot to me, and I know what you're saying. It's L.A. or the field, according to the Gamblers, but I just think there's a lot more to come in these next couple of weeks, guys. I don't think it's that cut and dry. It can't be this easy, can it? I mean, every decision he's made has been drama. It can't just be that Gary Payton links out that one of his kids may be going to school there, and that's it. I just can't. It can't be that easy.
And Will, talking about Dwayne Wade, he came out and said he doesn't know about his future, doesn't know if he wants to retire or not next year. And if LeBron was coming to Miami, I'm with you. Keep Wade because he loves Wade. He wants to play with Wade. And I believe they could have went farther or pushed Golden State further if they didn't get rid of Wade in Cleveland this year.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
But if LeBron doesn't come to Miami, why do we keep Dwayne Wade on this roster? Shouldn't they encourage him to retire if we don't get LeBron?
No.
He's 3,300.
Stop it. I mean, what else is going to root for down here?
He's going to play 30 games.
Who cares?
He's going to sit over there and rub his knees. I love him.
Will, put him in his place, will you?
Well, here's the thing. A year ago, Channing, you asked me that question. I say, I only think Dwayne Wade comes back to Miami in a, hey, tip of the cap, let's sit in the rocking chair at the end of the year, you know, and see you later, goodbye tour. Because I didn't think he would have that fit. I thought they were going to go younger. Some of these guys would develop. But what did we see, guys? Last year, what was the best part of last year? Best part of last year was Dwayne coming back. And what was the best part as far as playing down the stretch in the playoffs was Dwayne. I mean, he was the guy. He was the guy that single-handedly won them that one game, had a chance to win a second game in that series. I know it's crazy to think that at 35 and 15 years in his career, Dwayne Wade's the best player on the Heat, but is it crazy to think that Dwayne Wade's the best player on the Heat right now? I don't know. I mean, Goran Dragic is an all-star, but we saw what Dwayne can do in those closing moments that the Heat lacked throughout the year. He can't do it. Channing, you're right. For 82 games, he can't do it. For 36 minutes a night, he can't do it. But in big situations, you said it, in Cleveland this year, you don't think they would have loved to have Dwayne in those final moments of those games when LeBron's getting doubled and trying to look for somebody and everybody just standing around, throwing the ball around and call, you know, not knowing the score and all this stuff. Dwayne would have calmed everything down, and that's what he brings to Miami. If Dwayne wants to come back, not only does he come back, he has a feature role in this team next year, guys. There's no way that he's just a secondary guy or a, like I said, rocking chair at every arena, see you later kind of guy.
Will Manso from Local 10 is with us. I'm with Will. Not only is he the most talented player on the Miami Heat roster right now, he's the most popular and he's the most compelling. He's got everything you want if you have a basketball team. Like, you would lose
all that.
We're
not running for class president. We're trying to win basketball games.
Okay, fine. Who's better on the Heat roster than Dwayne Wade?
That's a problem with the Heat roster, that a 35-year-old well, can be the most dominant player.
Regardless, if that's the answer, then yes, it's a no-brainer to keep that dude. I was asking at the beginning of the show today, Will, the biggest story, I believe, in South Florida sports is the World Cup coming to North America and specifically Miami in 2026. Is that the big story on Local 10 Sports?
We have got a news reporter on it, and I'll be honest with you. When I saw this morning, when I got up and checked, and that was a Clay Ferreau text, and, you know, and I started seeing all the stuff about the World Cup, and I got excited for a couple minutes, and it is pretty cool. And then I noticed I'm going to be 51 years old and at Channel 10 for almost 30 years when it finally gets here. So I kind of slowed down the excitement. That's a long way away. I mean, 8 years we have to wait. But joking aside, it's exciting. I mean, it'll be cool. I got to cover World Cup 4 years ago in person. We went to Brazil for 8 days, and I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it was insane. And to think that our city and our community is going to have a few of those games, hopefully, and that excitement, it's going to be great. I just hope, you know, I hope I still have a job at 51. If Clay keeps winning every year, I may just, you know, I'll be running the board for you guys at 51. And I'll be doing that for my work.
Hey, Will, does it compare somewhat? You know, I'm not a big soccer guy, but like the excitement of the World Cup, the attention it's going to bring, does it compare anywhere to like what a Super Bowl does to a city?
It does, and even more so.
I think more.
Yeah.
More?
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't, until I saw it firsthand, and it's one of those things you have to witness. You go to a World Cup, and it's, you know, you go to a Super Bowl, and there's media from around the world, but it's like, you know, every country sends a couple of outlets, and it's a couple of things, you know, around the world at the Super Bowl. You see, you know, all these people from China, parts of Asia and stuff. But when you go to a World Cup, it's every country in South America, plus every city in those countries, and every outlet, and every radio in Europe, and every country in Europe, and every major city in Europe. And when you start multiplying that and the amount of coverage, and then the amount of fans that come within that coverage as far as those cities and those countries, you multiply that, and there's nothing you'll ever see in sports like the amount of coverage and the amount of passion that a World Cup brings. I mean, it's just, you have to see it to believe it. I could not believe the amount of people and the amount of countries and support and flags and excitement that I saw a few years ago. And you know, we see it on TV now, and we're going to see it in person in 8 years, hopefully. So it's going to be there. I don't think there is a comparison. To answer your question, no. There is. It does not compare to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the Super Bowl is one game. This is they're increasing it, right, in 2026, Solana, to what, 48 teams?
Yes, it's 32 now. It will be 48 teams.
Be 48 teams, and it'll last a month. Like, I mean, this is, and again, you know, to figuring out what Miami's role is in all of that will take place over the next few years or whatever. But I think it's bigger than a Super Bowl coming to a city.
It is. It's going to, and I honestly, it's going to be, we deserve it. I mean, this community, and hopefully by then we'll have a stadium site for the Beckham team. So if everything goes well, and then we can go from there with soccer.
Any, on the way out here, Will Manso, any Dennis Rodman stories? We were sharing those yesterday. I have my run-in with Dennis Rodman. He's back in the news, obviously, because he's bringing the world together. Do you have any? Everyone in South Florida, now I know media, it's a little bit different, but everyone in South Florida has had some sort of interaction with Dennis Rodman. Have you?
I mean, the only interaction I've had with him outside of interviewing him, like at shoot-arounds and things like that when he played, was seeing him at charity events or at events, you know, being Dennis Rodman with the all the piercings and the tattoos and the flamboyant style that he has, and maybe drinking a little bit or whatever the case is.
Mainlines it.
Outside of seeing him that way, I've never actually like dealt with him, you know, in any kind of crazy way. I've just seen him. I mean, you see Dennis Rodman. He's that guy that you see him at an event. He's the center of attention because, holy cow, there's a 6'8" guy, whatever, walking around with four piercings and all these tattoos and kind of drawing attention. And he's a pretty wacky guy, but I'm glad to know he's saving the world, so. We're in good hands.
You ever have a bad, like a really disappointing run-in with somebody that you thought was going to be a cool dude? It could be, you know, as a sports anchor or not as one.
A sports person that I thought was going to be cool. That's a good question.
A lot of people, we talked about this yesterday because I find this stuff fascinating. A lot of people down here have had just terrible run-ins with Alonzo Mourning, and I understand how charitable he is. He happens
back
to be,
day, yes.
He's an interesting personality. So there's a lot of people that litter the phone lines with stories of run-ins, bad run-ins with Alonzo Mourning. I had a moment growing up in Chicago where Doug Flutie turned me down for an autograph. He had just signed with the Bears. Do you have a moment that sticks in your head?
Well, honestly, I could see Zoe being Zoe, you know, back in the day. Zoe was difficult. Zoe could be tough, and he'd admit it. He was, you know, he had that look in his face. He wanted nothing to do with you. Nick Saban comes to mind. He was a pain to deal with everywhere you dealt with. He was never pleasant in behind the scenes or on the camera.
Tell me more.
He was the one guy I was excited to meet that I idolized in college because of the movies was Joe Pesci. So Joe Pesci was in horse racing. There was like a horse named after him, and he was at Gulfstream. This was many years ago. I had to interview him, and I came so excited. And I was a kid. I was probably still in my 20s at the time, and I was all excited with the Goodfellas references I was going to be. And Joe Pesci was the quietest, calmest, non-personality, non any kind of anything person I'd ever dealt with. Like, he wasn't a jerk. He just was so boring.
Just vanilla. I would never guess that. He's tiny too, isn't he?
Yes, he's a small. And it was almost like I was interviewing him, and you interview somebody, he's a foot away from you. I could barely hear what he was saying. He's quiet and whispering. Yeah, you know, I like horses, and just not at all that you know that you're laughing at me kind of guy. You know, the clown. You call him a clown kind of guy. Like, I had all this stuff ready to go. And the story ended up being one of the worst stories I think I ever did.
All right, there you go.
He didn't play along.
Will Manso, Local 10. Thank you for making time for us, Will. We always enjoy talking to you.
Anytime, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.